Shalom Aleichem and Shavua Tov. Today in Mishneh Yomi, we have the great Zechut, the merit to begin chapter 5 of Zevachim. This is actually a famous chapter called Ezehu Mekoman, what is the place? And it's so famous that it's printed at the beginning of most modern Sidurim, at the beginning of the prayer book, because we have a concept our sages teach, Unshalma Farim Sfateinu, that the words from our lips can take the place of sacrificial animals. The idea being that right now, God willing, this will change by the time this recording goes live. Right now, there's no temple as I'm recording this, so we can't actually bring the offerings. However, learning about them and discussing them and teaching the laws of the offerings, that we're going to need these laws when we have the temple again, will be a temporary substitute and give us the merit as if we've brought all the offerings. So let's dive in. Ezehu Mekoman Shel Zevachim. What is the proper place for the avoda of the offerings? Kodshei Kodashim, the highest level of holiness, Shechitatan B'tzafon, you must slaughter them in the north side of the courtyard. So you would go into the Shar Nicanor, go into the temple, and turn right, and you'd get to the north side. Par V'seir, the bull and the goat, Shel Yom Kippurim, that are the special offerings on Yom Kippur, Shechitatan B'tzafon, they are Chataut, so they are Kodshei Kodashim, and they must be slaughtered in the north, but they do have some special halachot due to Yom Kippur. The kibul daman bichle shoret b'tzafon, the Kohen has to capture their blood in a service vessel, a consecrated bowl or the like, in the north as well. The daman and their blood needs a special application. Ta'un hazaya, it requires a sprinkling. Al bein habadim, on the place between the poles. This refers to the poles which were used to carry the Aron Kodesh. So those wooden poles that were sticking out of both sides of the Aron Kodesh, the blood of these chataot would be sprinkled there on Yom Kippur, ve'al parochet, and onto the curtain in the temple. And there was a special application, once upwards and seven times downwards. And in the Yom Kippur Machzor, sometimes it has achat, achat v'achat, achat v'shtayim. And it has actually like the counting that the Kohen Gadol would do during the applications of this blood. That's exactly what this Mishnah is talking about, is what you'll see in the Yom Kippur Machzor in Musaf. Ve'al mizbeach hazahav, and some of the blood is also sprinkled on the golden mizbeach. That is the mizbeach, the altar that's inside the temple building, which is used every day for ketoret, and the dam, the blood of certain special karbanot, is also applied there. Matana achat, one application, matana also means gift, mehen, from all of these, me'akevet, will withhold the ritual. So if one application is left out, they miss one of the applications, then it doesn't work. And back in Yuma, all about Yom Kippur, we talked about how they would have to go back if the blood was spilled and at what step they would have to go back. So that is Yuma about Yom Kippur. Sherei hadam, the leftovers from the blood, hayashofech alisod ma'aravi, was poured out on the western section of the base, shemizbeach hachitzon, of the outer altar. So as we'll see, the outer altar, the larger one in the courtyard, was quite large, and portions of it had this base, this yesod, kind of like a one amma tall step going around the north and west side and jutting out a little bit into the east and south side as well. Im lo natan lo ikev. But if actually there was no leftover blood, or the leftover blood was not poured there, it is not me'akev, it does not prevent these offerings from being affected. Only the blood applications actually would prevent them from being valid. On to Mishnah Bet. Parim hanisrafim, the bulls that are burned. Usirim hanisrafim, and the goats that are burned. And this refers to the special karbanot that are burned outside of Yerushalayim. We mentioned these in Masechet Chorayot a little while ago, and they include the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, the Seer Avodah Zarah Shel Tzibor, if most of the community mistakenly, based on the Sanhedrin, does an Avodah Zarah-related mistake, the Par Kohen Mashiach, if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistaken ruling. And all of these karbanot are burned outside of Yerushalayim rather than eaten. Though parts of them are, we'll see, burnt on the Mizbeach. So these special burnt offerings, Shechitatan B'tzafon, they are Kodshei Kodashim, they need to be slaughtered in the north. V'kibul daman b'chlei sharet b'tzafon, and you catch the blood in a service utensil in the north. V'daman tun hazaya ala parochet, the blood requires sprinkling on the curtain in the temple or mishkan. V'al mizbach hazahav, an application of blood to the golden altar inside the building or tabernacle. Matana achat mehen makevet, and leaving over one application will prevent these offerings from being fully valid. Shiyari hadam, the leftover blood, hayashafech al yesod ma'aravi shel mizbeach haitzon, would be poured again on the western section of the base jutting out from the bottom of the outer mizbeach in the courtyard. Im lo natan lo ikev, and if there was no leftovers, they did not pour out the leftovers on that base, then it does not prevent it from being valid. Elu ve'elu, and these, referring to the korbanot in Mishnah Aleph, those special par and seir for Yom Kippur, and these special ones that are burnt, they are nisrofin, they are burned bebeit hadeshin, in the place of ashes. Now the place of ashes is where they would dump the ashes from on top of the Mizbeach, and it was actually outside of Yerushalayim. Though as with other korbanot, they are burnt inside the temple, these are burnt outside the temple, but their special emurim, the limbs that normally go on the Mizbeach, would indeed be going up on the Mizbeach. One thing you might notice so far, there's no machloket. There's no different rabbis mentioned that argue on the first opinion. This entire chapter, there is no machloket, and I've heard a theory proposed that this Mishnah, this chapter of Mishnayot, dates back to the days of the Mishkan, of Moshe and Aharon and the Kohanim and the Mishkan, and the Kohanim working in the Mishkan and later in the temple would memorize this Mishnah to the point where all the Kohanim had this chapter memorized, or maybe it was in their Siddur, though those Siddurim were very rare back then, to the point where there never became a machloka. There was never a disagreement about what to do because all of the Kohanim were doing these things on a daily basis and reciting these things on a daily basis, and they knew exactly what was going on, which is why in this parak you'll see there is no discussion, no machloket, no difference of opinions. Yishar kochachem, have a great week.